Bibles this morning, 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, not the Gospel of John, way in the back you'll find a book. If you get to Revelation, just go a few books before it, a little book, five chapters, 1 John chapter 4. We're thinking about God specifically. Last Sunday we kind of introduced what you would say the doctrine of God, and looked at a lot of attributes. There's natural attributes, and we looked at some of those, and then there's moral attributes, which are assigned to God. And some of those moral attributes are things that as we partake of that divine nature upon salvation, God can help us grow in those attributes. And so we said that we are going to expand one of those. So with the natural attributes, and those are attributes that are only to God. He's eternal. He's immutable. And that means immutable. When somebody says that I'm immutable, that normally doesn't hold true to humans. Immutability means that God never changes. He doesn't change at all. And that is told us in the Old Testament and the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. It says Jesus, the same yesterday and today and forever. So when we come to look at God, there are things that only God has as traits. He's eternal. He's immutable. He's omnipresent. That means he can be everywhere. We don't understand some of those things. But what we can understand is 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 6. 1 John chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, try to find somebody that has one. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. And here's one of our texts. For God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man that hath seen God at any time, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. And here it is again, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. You know, much that is called love in modern society bears no resemblance or relationship to the holy spiritual love of God. All right? Yet we see banners saying God is love. Way back in the 60s and 70s, you would see banners or you would see these parties put on by young people. And there was huge immoral things going on. And yet they would have these banners saying God is love. And yet they had no idea. No idea of what that was. And this morning, I'd like to consider the concept that God is love. One man put it this way, God's unfailing love for us is an objective fact affirmed over and over in the scriptures. It is true whether we believe it or not. Our doubts do not destroy God's love, nor does our faith create it. It originates in the very nature of God. It is who he is. It flows to us through his beloved Son because God is love. This is sometimes in the secular world, many would say that this is the most central attribute of God. And I would differ with that because there are other attributes of God. This is just one attribute. We're highlighting it because I believe that it's misunderstood about God is love. In fact, in this passage, it tells us that God is light. Earlier in the text in 1 John, it says that God is light. You can find that in chapter 1, that God is light. So the idea that God is light presents his holiness. All right, that God is love presents his grace and his mercy to us. And so God is light. God's holiness has to be satisfied. And that God is love. And what is amazing is that God's holiness was satisfied, although he loved, and it is an attribute of him that God is love. God's holiness was appeased, it says in this text, by sending his son. You see, God still is holy, and there was a payment. That's that word propitiation. Propitiation means to appease. It means to satisfy. And so the Bible says that God's holiness was satisfied. Why? Because sin has to be paid for. Sin has a cost. And yet the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This morning, I want to look at this concept of God is love. And I pray that if you haven't experienced God's love, that you'd experience it this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us as we look at this idea, this concept that God is love. Lord, that the Word of God would have free course. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would do his work, that which I cannot do, speak to hearts. We ask for your sustaining grace, Lord, to be able to take the scriptures, be able to use them aright. Well, thank you for what you do. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. We see God's care, his goodness, and his love to us, just kind of as an introduction. We see his love for us in his providing for our wants and our cares and habits. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. So God cares for us. He takes care of us. He cares for our wants. We also see God caring for us in the provision of human love. Human love in its highest and purest form is a reflection of God's love to mankind. There are, and we experience it. Every once in a while you'll read an article or you'll see somebody and they're just amazed at an act of kindness that somebody does. And they're like, wow, somebody did that. Or maybe it's some a famous millionaire or billionaire. And every once in a while, you'll hear of some person at a restaurant, a waitress. And this billionaire or millionaire will leave a $1,000 tip. And you're like, wow, what an act of love, an act of kindness. Every once in a while, you see that in human nature. We see the provision of human love, and that is an expression of God's love. We only know a love. We only can express human love because we understand God's love in the provision of Scripture. How divine love permeates this book is amazing. It's all through the Scripture. And as you bury yourself in the Scriptures, as you understand the Scriptures more and more, God's love does flow out of you. In the provision of Christ, God's beloved Son came as the personification of the Father's love. So we're going to look at this idea. I have a couple of questions in our outline this morning. So first of all, what is God's love? I looked it up in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, just love. So this is what Merriam-Webster's dictionary says, strong affection for one another arising out of kinship or personal ties, like a maternal love for a child, an attraction based on sexual desire, affection and tenderness felt by a couple of lovers. Number three, affection based on admiration or benevolence, or a common interest, love for an old schoolmate, or, you know, you see that. So all of the Webster's dictionary definitions, to me, are a little hard to understand, because they don't flow from God here. Did you notice that? All of their definitions are something that kind of, I'm receiving something. So let's look at 1 John chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 9. All right, so in verse 8, it says, God is love. Then in verse 9, it gives us, verse 9, 10, 11, and 12, gives us three attributes of God's love. And it helps us understand what is God's love. So look at verse 9. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So the first attribute, when we say, what is God's love? What is it? It's a sacrificial love. It's a sacrificial love. And that's what, when we're exhibiting God's love to others, guess what it's going to be? Sacrificial. God didn't get anything. He didn't all of a sudden love us because we loved him. In fact, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. It's a sacrificial. And you'll notice that even in the definitions that the world gives of love, most of the time what it is, well, I love them because they did this for me. In fact, we were talking about this week, and there are people that say, you know what, that place isn't loving. I just don't feel love. That's actually a worldly concept of love, because God's love is, I just give. I just give. I don't have to get anything back out of it. But yet, most of us sitting here, that's what you say. I just don't feel love. Well, actually, what did God feel from you? What did God feel from you? Hatred? Animosity? I don't want you? He loved this world so much that he created Adam and Eve just to have fellowship with them. And they were tricked by Satan. Brought sin into this world. And yet, what did God still do? In his perfect plan, he had his son. You see, God's love is sacrificial. It's sacrificial. Notice in verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So God's love is sacrificial. Secondly, God's love is not self-serving. Some of us, and I would say probably almost all of us at some time, our love is self-serving. You know, what do we mean by that? Well, I'm not getting anything out of this relationship. Well, what did God get out of his relationship with you? See, God's love is not self-serving. It says here, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. See, understanding what is God's love, it's sacrificial. It's not self-serving. Then look at verse 11 and 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man that hath seen God at any time, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us as love is perfected in us. So what is God's love? It's sacrificial. It's not self-serving. And this one may seem hard to understand at first, but it's self-propagating. What do we mean? It multiplies itself when it's given to somebody else. You notice what it does? When you experience God's love, then automatically you want to go and turn around and you want to express that to somebody else. It grows. That's the way God's love is. When you experience God's love, you don't want to keep it in. You want to share it. You want to help others out. That's an expression of the love that God has. And that's the opposite of the world's love. What is the world's love? It's not sacrificial. It's all about me. It is self-serving. And the world's love, they try to say, hey, let's spread a little love. It ain't spreading very well. Because you know what? God's love, that's the love that spreads. When we say God is love, we are not saying everything about God. Remember that. Love is an essential aspect of his character, and it colors every aspect of his character, but it doesn't eliminate his holiness, his righteousness, his perfect justice. The holiness of God is loving, though. The righteousness of God is loving. The justice of God is loving. You see, it all weaves together. Everything God does in one way or another expresses his love. Adam Clark, a commentator, said this: he hates nothing he has made. He cannot hate because he is love. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. Sends his rain on the just and the unjust. Has made no human being for perdition, nor ever rendered it impossible by any necessitating decree for fallen soul to find mercy. C.H. Spurgeon said this: never let it be thought that any sinner is beyond the reach of divine mercy so long as he is in the land of the living. That is God's love. God's love is so broad and so massive that as long as you're living, God's love can reach you. That's the amazing thing about God's love. So how do we see God's love? You see it found in the text in verse 9. So in verse 8, it says, God is love. Verse 9, it says this: and this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Gregory Jones authors a book, and he tells the story of a Turkish officer. This Turkish officer raided and looted an Armenian home, and this was many years ago. He killed the aged parents, and then he took the daughters, and he gave each of the daughters to one of his soldiers that were under him, and then the eldest daughter he kept for himself. Sometime later, she escaped and she trained to be a nurse. As time passed, she found herself nursing in a ward of Turkish officers. One night, by the light of a lantern, she saw the face of that officer. He was so gravely ill that without exceptional nursing, he would die. The days passed and he recovered. One day, the doctor stood by the bed with her and said to this officer that was there, but for her, pointing to this nurse, but for her devotion to you, you would be dead. He looked at her and said, we have met before, haven't we? Yes, she said, we have met before. And then he knew who she was, and he said, why didn't you kill me? And she replied, I am a follower of Christ who says, love your enemies. That's what God's love does. God's love says this in Romans 5:8, that God commendeth, or God showed his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How do we see God's love? As sinners, we were enemies with God. Yet God loved us enough, in spite of our offenses to him, to save us from our sins. When we discuss the love of God, it's the hardest to define. It's one reason why it's just sometimes hard to describe God's love, because we do not deserve it. We don't deserve God. We don't deserve his Son. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve anything. We deserve hell. And yet God loved us. He sent his Son to die for us. Warren Wiersbe says this: we should remember that propitiation does not mean that men must do something to appease God or to placate his anger. Propitiation is something God does to make it possible for men to be forgiven. God is light, and therefore he must uphold his holy law. And God is love, and therefore he wants to forgive us and save sinners. How can God forgive sinners and still be consistent with his holy nature? The answer is the cross. There Jesus Christ bore the punishment for sin and met the just demand of the holy law. There also God reveals his love and makes it possible for men to be saved by faith. This morning, when we're looking at God's love, man, now we see what it means. What does God's love mean when it's sacrificial, it's not self-serving, it's self-propagating? But how do we see God's love? Well, how do we see it? We saw it when Jesus sent his only begotten son. So when was God's love revealed? Notice in the text here, it says, hereby know we, that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his spirit, And we have known and believed in verse 16, the love that God hath to us, God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. And it says here in the text that God, we love him because he first loved us. So when was God's love revealed? It declares it. When we were sinners, God loved us. God didn't love us because we loved him back. He loved us in spite of us being sinners. God loved us before we turned back towards him. That is the amazing thing about God's love. When was God's love revealed? It was revealed infinitely from eternity because it's part of him. God is love. God was never not love. That is the amazing thing about God. And yet us, he showed his love to the children of Israel. And guess what the children of Israel did? They spurned him and said, no, no, no. And he said, I'm going to send a Messiah. And they rejected him and they crucified Christ. But yet Christ still loves. And God still loves. Because God loved at the beginning of time, and what is an attribute of God? He is immutable. God is the same yesterday, so God is love. And today, God is love. And forever, God is love. That's what I can tell you. God is love. So this morning, how do you receive it? How do you receive God's love? Remember, we never make ourselves love more. C.H. Spurgeon says this, we never make ourselves love Christ more by flogging ourselves for not loving him more. We come to love those better who we love by knowing them better. If you want to love Christ more, think more of him. Think more of what you have received from him. And that's what the Bible says, and I'll use three passages to help us to understand. So how do I receive Christ's love? Go to John chapter 3, a passage that we know. If you know it, you don't have to turn there, but John chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 14. John chapter 3 and verse 14 through 16. We know verse 16, but let's start in verse 14. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So how do I receive God's love? The Bible says, we sing a song, look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. All right, what happened? In this story that it's referencing in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, there were serpents that came in and they had bit them and they were dying, and Moses lifted up a serpent And it was a representation. And as Christ was lifted up, what do we have to do? How can you accept God's love? What do you have to do? How can I receive God's love? It says, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then in Romans chapter 5, another passage that kind of reveals to us, so how do I receive God's love? How do I receive it? I need to accept Christ's gift, a God's gift of Christ on the cross. In Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6, and we'll read to verse 10. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So you're noticing, how do I receive it? One, I have to understand I'm ungodly, and that Christ, I don't have strength. I don't have strength to get to heaven. I am ungodly. So in verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and it was mentioned in the testimony. The gospel is that Jesus Christ came, and he died and was buried, and he rose again on the third day. That is the gospel. And if you understand that God sending his son, Jesus Christ, because he loved you, because his holiness demanded that sin be paid for, and you accept that extension of God's love through Christ's payment of sin. Because God showed his love to us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. How do I receive it? Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 through 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So it is a heart acceptance. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But it must from the heart proceed to the mouth. And we must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it must happen. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning, I beg you, turn and accept God's love. God's love through Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. The demand of God's holiness, which is an attribute of God, was met through Jesus Christ. And you can have that free gift of salvation if you call upon the Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Frederick Lehman was a California businessman, and his business went under. He had a bad route with his business tries. So he was forced to spend his days doing manual labor in Pasadena, California, packing oranges and lemons in crates. That was his job. He was a Christian, though, and he rejoiced in his salvation. He was so moved on a Sunday evening message when he was at church. The preacher was preaching on the love of God. And he was so moved that night his mind could not stop thinking about God's love. The next morning, the thrill of that evening and thinking about God's love was still there. And he drove to work getting ready to pack oranges and lemons. The makings of a song began to come together in his head. with God's love as a theme. Throughout the day, he packed oranges and lemons, and the words continued to flow. And when he got home that evening, he ran over to the piano and he started plucking out some choruses and some words and started putting them together. And he came up quickly with two stanzas. But then he wanted a third, and he was stuck. It was then he remembered that somebody handed him a poem that had jotted it down. Hunting around, he found the poem printed on a card. And this is what's crazy. It said this, Mr. Lehman, it said, these words were found written on a cell wall in a prison some 200 years ago. It is not known why the prisoner was incarcerated. Neither is it known if the words were original or if he had heard them somewhere or had decided to put them in a place where he could be reminded of the greatness of God's love. Whatever the circumstances, he wrote them on the wall of this prison cell. And these are the words. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk of earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole that stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song. This morning, have you experienced God's love? It was extended to you through Christ on the cross. The greatest expression of love that the world has ever known. Heads bowed, eyes